The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a here for Danny Yamashiro in studio today. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How does a Boston-born girl who worked on a farm as a teen before studying at the University of Washington end up in pharmaceutical, medical, and dental equipment sales? This is the story of Anne Shigeta Koch. Along the way, her faith in Christ grew, and she discovered her gift of prayer, healing, and a love for the unborn. We pause to remind you before we start this conversation, the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show, it is to lead you, my friend, to Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Him. Each and every day we can come to the living hope called Jesus. No matter what you are going through today, He is there for you. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for me and for Anne, shed His blood, was buried, but in 3 days He rose again. And that is to save you and I. And today, He is calling you to His side. Anne Shigeta Koch was previously a hospital and biotech sales rep and now is in dental sales. She serves as a leader in 40 Days of Life, a twice-yearly prayer vigil to end abortion. Anne, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Lani.
So let's begin where you began, Anne. And I did talk about it a little bit in the beginning, but tell us more about where you grew up.
So my dad is from Hawaii. My whole dad's side, they're originally from Maui, Pu'unene, of course. My grandparents, my great-grandparents came from Japan to work on the plantations over there. And my grandfather was from Pu'unene, and he was in love in high school with my grandmother, my step-grandmother, Edith Shigeta. Anyway, their parents said they were too young, so they said, you need to go on to college. And my grandfather ended up marrying Jessie Shigeta, my grandmother, my blood grandmother. She passed away from cancer, but it was so cute. Maybe a couple months after she passed away, my grandfather and my step-grandmother, Edith, met, and her husband had recently passed from cancer, and they remarried. So I really knew Edith, my step-grandmother, but I did know my own grandmother. So anyway, my grandfather was a tropical horticulturist at University of Hawaii. He was with 4-H. That's what they did back then, ag, and he was excellent at it. And so I remember he had an amazing garden, avocados, every kind of fruit, flowers, you know, just we never had to go to the florist. Everything was from his garden when we made our, you know, annual trip to the grave sites at Punch Bowl. And, but yeah, so there, Kamaki, Lower Wilhelmina Rise. My dad went to university high school, and he met my mom at Oregon State. My mom's family were potato farmers from Idaho.
Wow.
And her father was one of five kids that grew up in a farm. They did not get interned. My grandparents over there did not get interned during World War II. They were far enough inland. And they were real leaders. It was really neat. Real leaders in the Asian community in Idaho on what they call the Oregon Slope. That's the border between the upper part of Idaho and Oregon. So yeah, they met, and that's I was born in Boston, because my dad went on to get his MBA in Boston, and that's where I was born. Unfortunately, they did get divorced when I was in kindergarten, and my mom ended up going to Salem, Oregon, where her dad went, and he became a lobbyist. He was a lobbyist for the Oregon Farm Bureau, passing laws for farmers for the whole Pacific Northwest.
Wow.
And then my dad, of course, came back to Hawaii to be with the Hawaii family. So I had a great time. I grew up in Oregon. My mom's sisters married into farming families. We lived in a neighborhood development, but there was a lot of agriculture. I grew up around a lot of kids who were kids of farmers. Mm-hmm. And back then, it was just the neatest thing. I look back and think, wow, to see God's bounty, to see all this amazing food be made and delivered for the world, you know. So, but I spent my summers in Hawaii until I was 12. With my Hawaii family, doing all kinds of fun local things. But when I turned 12, it was my mom's family's philosophy, you need to get a job. And so I, of course, like a lot of kids, end up working on farms, doing summer farm labor work. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of the Hawaii kids do that too. They worked on the plantations and the pineapple cannery and things like that. We had a cannery too in Salem. And so the kids that were lucky that didn't have to go on the fields were in the cannery and the high paying jobs. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah, I did everything. I picked strawberries, hoed broccoli, picked corn, blueberries, you name it. Wow. There's everything there. So, but it was a neat experience, you know, just thinking, you know, looking back at that, when you get to be an adult, you think, oh, you're in the hot sun all day. A school bus would go around the neighborhoods and pick us up at 6 a.m. and then we'd pick strawberries all day or do whatever work we were doing. And then the bus would drop us back off around 4 o'clock. Mm. So there's a way also to keep kids busy in the mainland, you know, sure. In Oregon mm-hmm. in the summers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they don't do that anymore. I asked my cousins and they're like, oh, no, it's against child labor laws. Yeah. I was really surprised about that. Mm. But, you know, so there's still a lot of these farms, obviously, they're a Calabash family of mine, and they're still going, and their kids are all running the farm. Wow. So, of course, a lot of it's automated now. So mm-hmm. it's just really neat. But, yeah, that was a wonderful thing growing up. Wow. So I had the best of both worlds.
Wow.
But ultimately, with the rain in the Pacific Northwest, I moved to Hawaii. So, and I've been here ever since. And I love Oregon. I love the beauty of the Pacific Northwest. But I pray that God will just keep me here in Hawaii. I love it here. The people are so wonderful. And I've always felt I had a Hawaii heart. You know, people mm-hmm. with that true aloha spirit, mm-hmm. very giving spirit, ohana. Mm-hmm. You know, people always say, what's the best thing about Hawaii? Food, family, and fun, you know?
Yeah.
I love, truly, the aloha spirit is alive here, mm-hmm. and it's very, very special. And I found that even to be more so now that I'm doing 40 Days for Life.
Mm. So, Anne, tell me...
Daily prayer vigil to end abortion, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about who influenced you most. I mean, it seems like you've had such a, just a diverse and... really great experience growing up, learning some real good tools, but also just living a very full life. Who would you say during that time influenced you the most?
Well, many, many people. And since my parents are divorced, I had a lot of Hanai family, a lot of families that adopted me, my aunties and uncles. Of course, my grandparents are in Hawaii, my aunties and uncles here in Hawaii. And in the mainland, you know,
mm-hmm.
probably for Hawaii, who comes to my mind is my Auntie Suzui, my Auntie Sue Matsuba, and my Uncle Herbert. They started Delight Bakery many years ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know them for their rainbow cake, and she's still alive. She just had her 100-year birthday, which was really exciting. We had a big drive-by birthday. My cousins threw a big party. She and I were very, very close, and we have very similar personalities, just a take-charge personality, a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you make a decision and you know what to do, you do it. Amen. It's always 200%, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You make a mistake, you say you're sorry, you know, and you correct the situation and you know, you heal and you move on.
Yeah.
But she probably... I would say she's coming into my mind right now. There's many, many people, but she's coming into my mind right now as, you know, you asked me that question.
Mm-hmm. I can see how she completely shaped you. Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell us a little bit about...
And, of course, my husband, you know.
Absolutely. How did you become a believer in Christ?
So, in Oregon, where I grew up, there wasn't a lot to do, you know, lots of farmland.
Mm-hmm.
So the two things I remember doing in the sixth grade was going to the Mormon dances. They had dances every Friday night. Everybody went. Didn't matter what school or what church you went to, you would do that. And then, of course, there was Young Life. And everyone knows around our age probably about Young Life. I was born in 67. So, but Young Life was a very big thing back then. And I went to a Young Life event and I went on a regular basis and with my friends, and it was a lot of fun. And I just, you know, one of the youth pastors just said the prayer is at the People's Church, and that still exists. It's a very wonderful church in Salem, Oregon. And he just did a call for salvation. I decided to raise my hand, and I remember feeling the power of the Holy Spirit come down on me. I did not know what it was, but it was just so wonderfully peaceful and just cleansing. It was really neat, but I really didn't know that I had received the salvation of Christ until years later when I moved to Hawaii. I was in a Bible study. I started going to First Presbyterian Church of Honolulu when it was back on Keamoku Street. And one of my really good friends that happened to be a customer and my own doctor, she's like, "Ann, you have to come to this Bible study. It's amazing." And it's at that Bible study that I really learned how to read the Word. I got baptized in my bathtub at my house when a round of the Bible studies were in my home. And just incredible. And that's also when I got my gifts of the Spirit and speaking in the Spirit and gift of healing. My hands really start to burn. The Holy Spirit manifests in that way when I'm praying for somebody or really any time. There could be any time when my hands start to burn. But to me, that's a signal that, you know, God wants me to pray for healing for somebody.
What difference has that relationship with Christ made in your life?
Well, of course, it's everything. It's everything. It's everything. It's changed my life forever, you know? Just, you know, you don't have to worry ever again. You really live in peace. You really call to, it's just like Psalm 91. You call to him, he will answer you. He will deliver you. He will call to you. You call to him when you're in trouble, he delivers you. And that's exactly what he does. And during the peaceful times when there's no troubles too, it's just wonderful to be the light to people. You know, I'm definitely not perfect. Absolutely not. But, you know, that's why your daily devotionals, your time reading the Word and praying and worshiping, that is so important because it gets you recentered every single day.
And we're going to take that break on that note. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about that discipline, right? That practice that that keeps us so grounded. I love that you just said that and that you talked a little bit about growing up as a young person being employed at the age of 12. You know, today we're talking with Ann Shigeta Koch, and we're going to talk a little bit more as we go forward about the ministry work she's been doing here in Hawaii. Certainly 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, /Honolulu, you can get in touch with her. We'll delve more into that, but let's talk, Ann, a little bit more about that discipline when we come back. You're here at The Good Life Radio with Lani Ka'a'a in studio for Dani Yamashiro. Please stay with us. We're with Ann Shigeta Koch. It's an interesting conversation, and we'll talk about what she's been through a little bit more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Dani Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Dani Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Dani on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a, again in studio for Danny Yamashiro today. We're having a great talk today with Ann Shigeta Koch. If you'd like to hear this from front to back, go ahead and go to our website at thegoodlifehawaii.com. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this podcast and listen to it. Share it with a friend. Maybe God is putting someone on your heart that needs the motivation that Ann brings. Such high energy, Ann. Ann Shigeta Koch grew up spending summers in Hawaii with her grandparents. Her grandparents were the owners, operators of our much beloved Delight Bakery, famous for its rainbow cakes, which I've had many times. Ann really related to her grandmother, a go-getter, leadership qualities. And what I loved that you said, Ann, is she was something that got it, someone who got it done. And my goodness, don't we need people in this world that will get things done. Ann also worked on farms, picking strawberries, corn, hoeing broccoli in Oregon growing up since the age of 12. Ann, that is so such a life that you had already lived by the time you even graduated from high school. But then you were talking, Reese, right before we took the break about the giftings, about coming to Christ and yet not really knowing it for some years, for some time. And I really want to pause on that and just kind of dig deeper, because I believe that many in our audience, myself included, we know that we've received Christ. There's a moment there, but there is a process. And I want to talk a little bit about maybe your process, because you've uncovered so many wonderful giftings, but you kind of gave us the highlight reel. I want to talk about the process. How did you go from that acceptance of Christ, learning about gifts, learning about what were the things that you put into place in your own life?
Well, I just, you know, after I was saved, I went to church, but you know, if your whole family's not going to church, it's hard to continue to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And I did have my really good friend, my best friend at the time, that I'd known since sixth grade. Beautiful blonde, blue-eyed gal from Oregon, down the street a block away. And we read the Bible. We just read it like a section of the Bible every day, and we'd pray together. But then when we went on to college, you know, she went to Oregon State, I went to the University of Washington, I kind of fell away from that, you know. And I did go to church on occasion with friends that I met in college on campus. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't till, you know, years later after I moved to Hawaii that I really felt the call to return to church. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to walk in truth and walk uprightly. You know, I would pray to the Lord, but not like a regular thing every day. I never read the Bible daily after that. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that really changed for me was when my husband and I, David, when we were married, we bought a house, we got our first dog, and I had a brown, beautiful Portuguese water dog. And he was so cute. My husband's in advertising, so he had his little photo on the back of Hawaiian Airlines ticket jacket for a time. I wanted to get my little baby on, you know, in some kind of ad, so that's what he did. Mm. And anyway, so walking my dog, we live in Lower Makiki Heights, but I would walk my dog and the neighbor's dog for a number of years up Tantlis, and we would sometimes go all the way around Tantlis, which is 11 miles, 12 miles, yeah. But during that time, we'd get up so early, and I would take my dog up, and it's so nice and cool, and it's so beautiful and peaceful, and it's in nature. I started talking to the Lord, and I started hearing him from him. And, you know, on certain curves, when you're going up Pantless Drive, there's a beautiful view of Diamond Head. There's a beautiful view of the airport. You can see the planes taking off and landing.
Yeah.
And over time, I really drew close to the Lord, and he drew close to me, and I knew that he was real. And those times I just got such peace, and I would hear from him. If I was troubled by something, his peace would come upon me. If I was troubled by something I need to do at work, that's when I would hear his voice, and this is what you should do. This is who you should talk to. And, of course, I still have that even more today than I did back then. But that's what made me return to church. My mom's side of the family, my grandparents were founding members of the Presbyterian Church in Salem, Oregon. And they were also, my great-grandparents were founding members of a church in Idaho. So John Knox Presbyterian in Salem is where I had gone for a time. So I decided to go find a Presbyterian church. So where did I go? First Pres Church of Honolulu.
Wow.
They're right at the corner down the street from my house.
Right.
When they were in the corner of Kaimoku and Wilder. And, of course, I went there, and I just felt so welcomed and, you know, just loved Dan Chun, loved the sermons.
Yeah.
I made that my church home, and I'm still a member of that church.
Wow.
Although I definitely do a lot of studies in other groups outside of First Pres, and, of course, through my 40 Days for Life work,
mm-hmm.
I meet and go to a lot of other church services, which are wonderful as well. So,
and
that's where my Bible study was. That's where my group was. And we're still together this day. We don't meet in person,
mm-hmm.
but we have a text chain and we do calls and we'll still get together every now and then. But we are mighty prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the biggest thing I think we got out of that Bible study meeting every Friday for so many years, for at least 12 years in person. Was just we'd be praying for each other and people would come in and go and the power of prayer. And now even people will come to us that know people in our group and say, please, will you have your Bible study pray for me?
Mm.
And every single time we have miracles happen. It's incredible.
Mm.
It really, really is. So we intercede for each other and it's wonderful. So definitely they're my rock. And they're my rock during the 40 Days for Life, especially. You know, now that I've been doing this.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that. I love where you're going with this long Bible study group. And what's the importance, Anne? What is the importance of being connected to a study group, to a, some call it the connect group, you know, Ohana group, whatever a church might call it. What's the importance?
Well, for my group, we had several people who really knew the Bible, who were true teachers. And that was Malu Wadamal. She was our original instructor, Bible study teacher in our group. And this woman is just incredible. She taught for years. She knew the Word. The Lord would guide her and show her what teachings we were going to do, you know, what books we were going to study. But really knowing the Word and having it come alive. So that's first of all. And then, of course, I think secondly and equally as important is we would always open our group up with worship. And so that's where I learned to worship and really come into the Holy Spirit presence.
Wow.
We didn't worship for long. I know a lot of churches will worship a long time, like an hour before service or, some mm-hmm. churches only do a few. But we would just do maybe two to three, whatever the Holy Spirit led us, two to five songs. And that really ushered in the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd do our study. And, in between the Bible study, we would have our what we'd have to do in between the weekly meeting.
Yeah.
And after a while, after several years, Malu had passed away. We did do some more studies, like on the book of Nehemiah and things like that. But we would have teachings we'd do, but it would maybe not be so much for a certain book. We maybe would study, on our own, like Corinthians or something, or Acts, the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't necessarily a formal study. We would just read, and we would talk about what the Lord showed us and what we thought it meant, you know?
Yeah.
And then we'd use the end of the Bible study time to pray for each other.
Yeah.
So I myself got a lot of healing through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also learned, it just grows your faith. It just roots your faith when you just say a simple prayer. And what I really learned is a heartfelt prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's where you are. You're not just asking God, like, hey, God, I need some money. I need a job. So I think the biggest thing was like I learned there maybe in the very beginning days was like God's not an ATM. You don't just go to him and say,
mm-hmm.
hey, I need this.
Amen.
And then forget about him the next day.
Yeah.
And I think we can all relate to that. There's times we walk out of that circle. But when you're a baby Christian, that happens a lot because you don't really understand,
mm-hmm.
you don't really understand that prayer and that it's a relationship with God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. It's a relationship. But getting back to the heartfelt prayer, sometimes, you're just praying, you're going through the motions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you really become for the Lord and you really are asking him and you're trusting him, hey, my friend's got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I'm asking you to heal this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when the miracles happen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It only takes a mustard seed, but you have to come before him humbly
and
have that heart to heart.
Amen. Yeah.
So that has been obviously, it's a lifetime practice for me now. It's been many, many years. But, I think about that a lot, and I have to talk about it a lot now in my new role of 40 Days for Life,
mm-hmm.
because that's when we see, when I'm doing 40 Days, that's when we see answered prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
is when people are really coming before the Lord and praying in earnest, heart to heart with Him, you know?
So, Anne, when did the Lord show you your gift of healing? When did you receive the healing gifts from the Lord? I know you talked about
it.
It
was right after
earlier.
I got baptized.
Mm.
It was right after I got baptized in my Bible study. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get your gift, you get your gifting. Mm-hmm. You know, you get your language, your spiritual language, mm-hmm. and then you know, you get your gifting. Mm-hmm. And so, my hands just started to burn. So I knew that was my gifting after getting baptized. Yeah.
And when we come back, we're going to take a short break. I'd like to talk a little bit more about that and really how you got involved in the 40 Days for Life movement and what your role is. And really, let's take a deep dive into that ministry that that you're leading here in Honolulu. We're here with Anne Shigeta Koch. She is with 40 Days for Life, 40daysforlife.com/Honolulu. To learn more about the movement. We're going to talk a lot more about that when we get back. But Anne has had a history of just being committed to the Lord and learning of His love for her and learning of her gifts that she can use to glorify Him. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Anne Shigeta Koch.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
In the 1990s, through a Bible study, Anne Shigeta Koch was baptized in her own bathtub in her house. She grew with an amazing group of sisters in Christ in her Bible study. She also received the gift of healing and a call to pray. Today, Anne is in the leadership of the 40 Days to Life prayer vigil to end abortion. And talk to us a little bit about how you got involved with 40 Days for Life.
Okay, so basically the Lord just called me to it. I've heard so many stories how people come to 40 Days for Life, and mine's pretty, it's interesting. So I always go to concerts, and Christian and secular. And as a hospital rep, I got to know a lot of my doctors and nurses at all the different hospitals for many, many years. And on Maui especially, the community is very small there, and a lot of the doctors and nurses, you know, worked there for many, many years, their entire career. and I really love Willie Nelson. Just love, went through a little country phase, and he lives in Paia with his wife Annie and his two kids. And so one of my doctors is like, hey, I know him. I golf with him all the time. He'd have him call me. I used to go to his concerts. I got to meet him. I got to meet his wife Annie a few times and some of the other, all the celebrities he hangs out with. And that was really neat. But in 2018, I had the opportunity to go to the Steven Tyler concert. Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
Yes.
And he really has gotten integrated in the Maui community. So I went. And before I go to any concert that I go to, I like to listen while I'm, you know, doctors are running late, surgeries are running late. I will listen or read a book, listen to podcasts on my earphones. So I listened to the three top interviews for Steven Tyler that year. And the third most watched interview, unfortunately, was his girlfriend. When she was in her young 20s, she told the story about how he wanted her to have a baby. She was 16 years old, and he had guardianship over her.
Wow.
And she was pregnant. And long story short, he took her home to meet his parents at Christmas, and they did not approve of the relationship. He asked for his mother's ring. He's from a very, I guess, well-to-do musical family. And she said everything changed after that. He left her to go back on tour in January and locked her in his New York apartment. She was starting to run out of food. He's like, listen, I'm going to send one of the guys from the band to help you and get you some food. And she was so excited. She hadn't seen anybody in a month. When he got there, he opened the door and he knocked her out and he lit the place on fire. She remembered to roll in a fireplace because she heard about that on a TV commercial, and she woke up in the hospital and he was there, and he coerced her into having an abortion.
Wow.
Unfortunately, she was late term. This is the 70s, and the baby was born alive. And I hope this isn't too graphic, but
Wow. They
did back then is they clip it at the back of the spine. They killed her baby. And she's crying and crying in the video saying, they killed my baby. I just was so shaken by this video. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like many Christians, I knew abortion was wrong, but I just never thought about it before.
Wow.
You know, I've never been in that position. You know, I'd known someone in college that had had an abortion, a good friend of mine. But, you know, I was not with the Lord at that time. But anyway, part of my job in the hospital is to go around to all the ICUs and do competencies for the nurses, make sure they know how to use my medication. And I had gone to the neonatal intensive unit at Capilani many times and competency them. They cannot leave the baby's side. They're preemie babies.
Mm-hmm.
So a few days later, I just couldn't shake the whole interview that I watched on YouTube and listened to.
Yeah.
I was doing my devotions and the Lord showed me, oh my gosh, they're trying to keep these babies alive in the NICU, but in the basement, they're killing them.
Mm.
Same babies. How can that be? I Googled 40 days for life and I found it, and I literally bought a sign and I went down there on the first day. And I met a person who's now one on my leadership team. And a year later, the Lord told me he wanted me to lead it. And I did battle with the Lord on that for like 3 months. And finally, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it.
Mm.
And here I am.
Wow.
Here I am. My second vigil leading on my own.
Wow. Tell us a little bit more about that three-month battle with the Lord. I know many of us called to the Lord, we battle. What was your battle like?
Well, you know, every morning, I mean, I think I've only missed my morning prayers in 2 years, like 5 times, you know, and just, it's incredible. He just gets me up and I get up. It could be 3 a.m, it could be 5 a.m. Most of the time it's 5, but sometimes it's at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then I pray and I worship and I go back to bed, but read the word. But, it was just, you know, I'd read my Bible and I'd start with my prayers for the day and the Holy Spirit would come on me. He's like, Anne, I want you to lead 40 days for life. And I'd be like, no, Lord, no. And I'm like wrestling with him and I'm like, Lord, I'm wrestling with you. I'm wrestling with you. And, you know, if I have to walk with a limp, then so be it. But finally, the Lord honestly showed me. He's like, look what happened to Jonah, Ann. I'm like, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I just said, okay, I'll do it. As soon as I did that, I had a peace. And, you know, I called the guy who'd been leading it for 6 years. And he was really happy. He'd been praying for somebody else to lead it. It took him a while to turn it over to me, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can see why, obviously, you know, I can see why, but it's so rewarding. Like it's been a lot of hard work, but the greatest reward is just being down there praying.
Yeah.
You're really spending time with the Lord,
yeah.
You know?
So, Ann, tell us...
that's all 40 Days for Life is. It's power prayer, right?
So. Tell us exactly, you know, what is the mission, vision of 40 Days for Life, and how does it work?
So, 40 Days for Life has been official across the United States and around the world since 2007. It was started by a guy named Sean Carney. He was a college student in West College Station, Texas. And God just called him down to start praying in front of the abortion facility there. And it turned out to be his life calling. It's his career, and it's incredible what's happened. So 40 Days for Life, all it is a twice-yearly prayer vigil. You stand in front of an abortion facility, and you pray. You pray to end abortion. You pray for those going in. You pray for those working there. And you just stand there and pray. And preferably, we'd like someone to hold a sign. And we have plenty of signs. The signs just say, prayer to end abortion, and it has a logo, 40 Days for Life. But you don't have to. The most important thing is being on the sidewalk, grassroots, and praying. Mm. And you don't even have to talk to anybody going in, because we all know a time when we prayed, and we asked the Lord, we asked Jesus, there's a troubled time in your life, and you pray, and you come before him. And then you get that miracle, and that's exactly what happens down there.
Wow.
Exactly what happens down there. It's nice to pray from home, but it's completely different than being right there on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what is that? What makes it so important to be in front? I'm sure many of our guests are, you know, I pray. I can pray for them at home every day, all 40 days. Why do I have to go down there? What's your answer to that?
It's just grassroots. It's just, you know, it's really the calling of the Lord. He wants you down there, right?
Okay.
But, you know, you're down there physically, and your prayers are going up, and they're being heard.
Yeah.
But I really think it's also a sowing of seeds, too.
Yeah.
There's so many stories from women or couples that have made an appointment to go get an abortion, and they drive by or they go there, and they ask the Lord for a sign. Lord, give me a sign if you don't want me to have this abortion. And they'll see one person down there praying with their head down. And they'll take that as that sign.
Wow.
And they turn around and
leave. That's good. Mm. You know, I was able to participate last year. And one of the things that I would say, having gone down there, being a bit, I was nervous going down there. You know, I didn't want to be yelled at, and, you know, I didn't know what to expect. But what I received was amazing. As a prayer warrior, you know, we're there to pray for others. But I tell you, God ministered to my heart in such a big way, because I literally saw women getting dropped off and then opening that door to make that decision to go in. And, you know, just being there and realizing that these are real and scared people, some young, some not so young, but they're scared people. They're doing what they believe is best for them in the moment. And what a gift we can be to anyone who wants to receive counsel and prayer as they ponder the gift of abortion. It was absolutely life-giving to me as well. So I would add to that, you know, that going there physically ministers so much more than staying at home.
Yeah. Well, what people don't realize, when you're down there and you're praying, you get that time with the Lord. It's rewarding to you.
Yeah.
Not just because if you know someone that comes out and you talk to them and they choose life. There's just something about that uninterrupted time. And we don't want people, there are people that come down for 3-4 hours, you know. But we just ask people to come down 1 hour, just 1 hour, one time a week, just block it out, and just come down. And we don't like, especially women, to go alone. We want us to go in pairs. We really don't have, thank goodness, any problems in Honolulu with NAFTA or BLM harassing prayers or the way they do in mainland places. And people truly have aloha spirit. It is amazing. Mm-hmm. And far more you get honks of support than you do get people driving by, you know, not being supportive.
Mm-hmm. I do agree with that.
I always forget to mention, you know, it is a reward to go down in prayer.
Yeah.
You're the one that gets that
point.
You know, the Lord is with you. It's incredible, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
And anyway, prayer does work. And, you know, we have seen a lot of So the difference, Nam, I'm glad you mentioned that you went down there before, because the difference this vigil compared to other vigils that we have trained people that are sidewalk counselors. And in the past, we only had a few here and there, and we still don't have it where it's fully covered, you know. Mm-hmm. 40 Days for Life in Honolulu is from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's not 24 hours like it is everywhere else, but we have sidewalk counselors. So we want to let the sidewalk counselors counsel those going in, because they've been trained to know what to say and how to handle these delicate situations.
Yeah.
You know, the mom's life, you know, they're in a very hard situation. You know, you've been down there. You can tell people who are going in for an abortion, they look very sad.
Yes.
Or very scared.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else going in there for any other service, birth control, STD testing, they usually bop right on in and, hey, mm-hmm. I'm not going in for an abortion. I'm getting this
right,
today. And
right.
Mm-hmm. They'll have a chance to talk to them, right? But so that's the one thing that's a little different this time. We really want people to focus on prayer. If they do feel like they want to say something and there's no sidewalk counselor there, then we know the Holy Spirit will guide that person. We have a couple things that are suggested to say when they hand out a flyer. We have an informative flyer for a free ultrasound and a free pregnancy test.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just let them know, too, like, you don't have to make this choice today. And you've really got to explore all choices before you make a final decision, because you're not thinking about how you're going to feel tomorrow, you know, the day after that abortion.
Amen.
People don't think about that. They think, oh, we got to get this done today because I got to get rid of this issue and move on with my life.
Yeah.
The problem is people don't think of the guilt and pain they're going to feel after they've done it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is what people have to carry the rest of their lives.
Right. Yeah. And so, we're going to take our final break and Shigeta Koch. We're talking intimately about the 40daysforlife.com movement. 40 Days is coming up. We'll talk a little bit about how you can get involved. If you're listening in and wondering, how can I be a prayer warrior? How can I sign up? When we come back, we will definitely talk more about that. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about what this movement, 40 Days for Life, has done in its past few years, and some of the miracle stories maybe, and that you can share just to inspire and encourage us as we look forward to be involved in this year's 40 Days for Life prayer vigil. It's coming up real soon. We hope you will get involved. Anne will tell us a little bit more about that when we come back. You're with thegoodlifehawaii.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha Lani Ka'a in studio for Danny Yamashiro today. We're talking with Anne Shigeta Koke. She is a leader in Honolulu for the 40 Days for Life movement. 40 Days for Life is an internationally coordinated 40-day campaign that aims to end abortion locally through prayer and fasting, community outreach, and a peaceful all-day vigil in front of abortion businesses. And we were talking in the last break of the importance of being there in the present, in the moment, and how important it was. Now, I'm sure many of our guests want to get involved and really want to be a part of this. So how can somebody listening today get involved, sign up, take that hour, come down?
Okay, so, I mean, the best thing to do would be to go to our website, 40daysforlife.com/Honolulu, and my phone number and my email are on there. Contact me, and I'm happy to talk to anyone about it. That's the first time, you know, to go down and pray. All the resources on there. And then we have a calendar where you can just go in and sign up. And we like to keep track of how many people are praying down there. We have day leaders that are praying at various times. So if someone calls us and they don't want to go down alone, or people are planning on going, they can get on the calendar and see if someone's going to be there during a certain hour so they can make sure someone else is there with them. And of course, my day leaders, we watch that and we make sure that people are paired up, or if someone's going to go alone, we'll go down there with them and make sure that they have company. But that really is the best thing. What we're doing a little bit differently this vigil compared to other prayer vigils, and the vigil this year is September 22nd, so it starts next Wednesday for 40 days and it ends on October 31st. Mm-hmm. And again, it's at the abortion facility, 839 South Paratania Street, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and we just ask people if they could just commit 1 hour to their schedule and block it off. So the new thing we're doing is we are encouraging groups, church groups, Bible studies, prayer groups, men's groups, to create an unbroken chain of prayer, that you as your Bible study leader or member of your group or your church would get your group together, say, we want to pray to end abortion, and we want to be down there supporting, you know, making this call, sowing seeds for the Lord. And we have 10 people in our group, and we're going to pray every Monday from 3 to 7. And two of us each are going to be down there from 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7.
Mm.
And that they would block it off. And once you block something off on your calendar, you know, you don't like, oh, shoot, I scheduled a dentist appointment, I can't come that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once a week, you know, that is not very much. You know, as the saying goes, you know, many hands make work light. And in this situation, many hands make prayer stronger. That's the opposite, right? So we're really hoping that. And I learned this at the National Houston meeting for 40 Days for Life. A lot of groups love having a matching T-shirt. So we're offering any group that makes that commitment to come down 1 hour a week. We have some really cool 40 Days for Life T-shirt designs. And in the future, we're really hoping we'll be able to raise enough money to have an Aloha print 40 Days for Life shirt. Mm-hmm. But we have camo. We have all these colors. We have really cool men and women's designs. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to achieve. I've been to many church signups asking people to come down and meeting people down there and getting to know people. Of course, Saturday's the most popular day because most everyone is working. But we need to fill the slots on all the other days too, Sunday through Friday. Abortion days are from 8 to 12. They do abortions on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Wow.
But we do need to cover the other days too, because people are coming in to make their to get their ultrasound, to make their appointment to get that abortion, you know? So that's something that's new besides having the sidewalk counselors called sidewalk advocates. So
good.
But that's basically, you know, and just call me. It's a grassroots thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I just love it. The unified voice of God, you know, the Big C Church. Giving glory to God and truly working hand in hand. You know, there are many things that the churches may not work hand in hand, but this is definitely one of the important things that we need to set aside all else and really commit to the prayer for our unborn. And tell us a little bit about what happened in a recent vigil at Planned Parenthood this past spring. Was it this past spring? I think it was in spring.
Yep. It was our spring vigil for 2021 Lent. So, as I mentioned, we're going into the 8th year of 40 Days for Life. And when I took it over, the Lord's like, "Don't worry, Ann. I'm going to do the work." And He gave me that scripture. He's bringing forth the rain and the latter rain. Mm. He's bringing forth the fruit. He just wants me to stay and looking at Him and all my other prayers too, and pray. And He will do it. And He did. He really did. There's definitely been times where I was biting my nails going, "Oh my gosh, I have to do this. I have to do that." No, Ann, I'm directing your path. I'm directing all these people, you know, to come down there. And it's true. But this last vigil we had every single day, we had people down there praying. And it was wonderful. In previous vigils that I had attended, there's a lot of socializing going on. There's a lot of talking. And I said, you know, "Hey, you guys, we need to get back to praying."
Mm-hmm.
This is fun to socialize and say hi and all that. But the purpose of us being down here is to pray. And everyone was praying. So praise God for that.
Yeah.
But this last vigil, we had 5 known women, including a couple, choose life instead of an abortion.
Wow, that's so good. So
that was really exciting. There's tens and thousands of people who choose life. They see us. They just don't come back and tell us. So 40 Days for Life National does not count as saved life unless they come out and tell us that they chose not to have an abortion. Or they came back later. A lot of people come back with their baby later and say, "Because you were out here praying 9-10 months ago, look, here's my baby. Here's my son. Here's my daughter."
Mm.
We count those too. But we had 5 known people choose life. That's never happened before in Honolulu. Right. The national people were thrilled. Everyone was so excited.
Yeah.
And one other miracle happened. We had 3 people quit Planned Parenthood. 3 workers at Planned Parenthood just got up and walked out and left the place completely backlogged on a Monday.
Mm. Wow.
And I might add that the Saturday before, we had some serious praying people down there.
Mm-hmm.
Pacing and praying, and it was just incredible. And the following Monday, that was when
God
a couple chose life.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came out and another woman came out, they told us about the 3 workers who had quit.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of knew because people were coming to pick up people for rides and they weren't out of there yet. And it was all day long. Like, "Oh, I was supposed to pick them up at 10. And here it is 4:00 and they're still not done."
Wow.
So we had heard all day, but that was very exciting.
Yeah.
So,
and we're just about, I'm sorry, we're just about out of time, and I do want to give you time to pray, and I ask, Lord, I ask you, Anne, that you would pray for 2 audiences, our audience, motivating them, that the Lord would motivate them to participate, but also for those facing this decision, because that's what we truly need to be praying for. Would you pray for us?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. Actually, thank you so much, yes. Heavenly Father, Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are in control. You're above all things. And Father, anyone listening, anyone who knows someone with an unplanned pregnancy, or Father, any one of your saints, any one of your people, Father God, if you would just put the calling upon their hearts and they would heed that call to come down and pray, just to be on that sidewalk for people who don't know you, Lord,
mm-hmm.
or maybe people that know you but fell away, and maybe just a little bit lost, Father, that you would just put that upon their hearts and minds, and you would just open their blind eyes like you do, Amazing Grace, to know the truth. I was blind, and now I see too, Father. So bring forth people to pray. Put that calling on their life and let their yes be yes. Let them make that commitment to come down.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father God. in the mighty name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, for all those who have an unplanned pregnancy, Lord, come to them in their dreams. I just call forth people in their lives for them to talk to. Let them bring to their mind someone they trust, someone they just want to share this truth with. Don't let them hide it, Heavenly Father. Let them tell and say, hey, I have an unplanned pregnancy and I don't know what to do. The truth sets people free. And Father God, let it be the person that will help them to get to the people that they would be able to really understand their choices and that it's a gift of life and it's not the end of the world, that it's truly a life within them. And let them honor that life that you've blessed them with, Lord. Please give people the courage, Father God, to stand by what you believe, the gift that you've given them. And Lord, just cover them with your love and people that love and support them and be joyous with them in a pregnancy, Father God. Give them hope. Jesus Christ, our living hope, whatever their situation is. And Father, that if they do come down to the abortion facility, that someone would be there to talk to them. That would be their sign if they ask you for help. And you will bless them with a help through all of us that are hands and feet in this world. Help us to be your light, Father. Thank you. And thank you for Lonnie. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And thank you so much for being a part of our show today. Thank you so much for making the time. More importantly, thank you so much for what you are doing for the unborn.
Thank you so much, Lonnie.
Thank you.
Thanks for helping me out here, my first interview ever.
God bless you. You are amazing. These are hope-filled words from Anne Shigeta Koch. You can find more about 40 Days for Life at 40daysforlife.com/Honolulu. God's timing is perfect, my friend. There is no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. If you haven't done so yourself, today is that moment. It truly is, to open your heart to Him. Father, if you are listening to The Good Life right now and you're facing that question of life, get some help. You can always go to 40daysforlife.com and find out more. To support our work, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click on donate. Scripture says at Psalm 139:13, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you so much to Anne Shigeta Koch, 40daysforlife.com. Until next time, for Danny Yamashiro, I'm Lonnie Ka'a'a, along with our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purposes today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.